The Takeaway is supported by the Rockefeller Foundation, whose transportation initiative is promoting equitable and sustainable development in communities across the country. More at rockfound.org. You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
You know, back when I was going to school, school lunches weren't all that complicated an issue. Your mom gave you some money, in my case, in an envelope each morning, and I went to school and I bought my pizza or my...
Milk cost a penny when I was in
my burritos.
School.
Really?
A penny, yes. A quarter, a half pint cost a penny.
That was before the childhood obesity epidemic. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention say childhood obesity has more than tripled in the past 30 years. That makes it... pretty important that we're making sure kids eat more healthily. The problem is healthy food often costs more than unhealthy food. That's the sad fact. And at this point, the federal government thinks that the average price needs to go up to about $2.46 in order for school districts to give kids healthier food. That's a dilemma for some school districts. Joining us now, Becky DeMocos-Bays. She's Director of Food and Nutrition Services for the Alexandria Public Schools in Virginia. Good morning, Becky.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for joining us. What does it cost for a kid to buy a lunch in your school district?
For elementary students, for us, it's $2.25. And for the middle and high school students, it's $2.50 for lunch.
And what's a tip? Give me an example of a typical lunch.
Well, we have multiple choices. That's kind of the name of the game nowadays. So on any given days, we would have two hot entrees. Like yesterday, we had spaghetti with meat sauce, and we had a vegetarian item. And we always have yogurt, and we have peanut butter and jelly, the staple. And then we have a choice of 3 to 5 fruits and vegetables and a whole grain item and, of course, milk. And milk costs 50 cents for a half pint now in Alexandria.
I mean, do you consider, we're speaking with Becky DeMocos-Bays, Director of Food and Nutrition Services in Alexandria, Virginia. Do you consider the lunches to be relatively healthy? Are they balanced? Low calorie?
Absolutely. School meals are such a value. For $2.25, you get a choice of 5 different items, and you can't buy that anywhere for $2.25. And we do nutritional analysis of our meals so that we know that we meet all the nutrients that kids need to get every day.
But I'm wondering if you get complaints from parents. I want you to take a listen to this comment from Republican John Klein. Here he is speaking back in December, when this federal regulation was being debated in Congress. Here's what he had to say about the child nutrition bill.
It imposes a tax on the middle class by empowering the U.S. Secretary of Agriculture to require schools to increase, that's right, require schools to increase the price they charge families for school meals. This is a dangerous foray into federal price control.
So, Becky DeMocos-Bays in Alexandria, Virginia, have you taken a lot of angry parent calls?
Actually, no. We haven't had any calls in Alexandria. I know this is the first time that through our reauthorization that this kind of issue came up. And so I think people are kind of working through it. I know when I read the news, my little daily mixed news bites, that this is a hot topic across the country.
Well, hot topic across the country. Becky, give us a sense of how much of a hot topic this is for kids. I mean, food and what's in the lunchroom and whether vending machines are available or not or whether it's healthy or not is a huge sort of cultural issue in schools. How much of a controversy is healthy food among kids?
Well, I don't know. I think kids would say they want to eat healthy, but I think it's up to us to kind of help them, teach them to know what that means. So, you know, part of our responsibility, I think, in school nutrition is to provide meals that and items that maybe they wouldn't have tasted before. So you give them a sense, because we don't want to just serve hamburgers and pizza every day. I don't think that's a wise thing for kids to eat every day. So we want to make sure we're serving lots of other things. However, I think more from a parent's point of view, I think if I'm going to pay for a meal for my child at lunch at school, I would certainly want to make sure that they are getting a nutritious meal. And parents expect hot meals at lunch to be offered, whether their child chooses one or not. So, you know, that's our biggest challenge, is to educate parents as well to make sure they understand that school meals are nutritious.
We're speaking with Becky DeMocos-Bays, Director of Food and Nutrition Services for Alexandria Public Schools in Virginia. And we've been getting a lot of responses from our listeners. You can give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE. Tell us the story of your kids' lunches. One person in Arkansas says, lunch costs $2.25, but I would pay a little more for a better quality meal. My girls won't eat what's offered most days because it's greasy and unhealthy. And here's another response.
My name is Jenny, and I live in Somerville, South Carolina. And here we pay $1.40 for lunch every day in the public school system. And I must say that the price is very reasonable. Also, the choices are extremely healthy, and my daughter always has something good to choose from.
So, Becky DeMocos-Bays, those two comments are actually pretty indicative of the ones we've gotten so far. And yet, we've also gotten a number of people saying that offering choices to kids is not so great a thing, that when you give kids a choice, they're always going to pick the least healthy option. Is that what you see in your schools?
No, I don't really agree with that. I think kids are used to choices now, and I think, again, goes back to what I said before. You can offer healthy choices along the board. You don't have to offer, you know, for example, the pizza that we would serve to our children is a whole grain crust and has reduced fat cheese, so it's not the same pizza that they would buy from a commercial entity.
Sounds yummy. Sounds yummy. What do you make of these programs out on the West Coast that I've heard of where kids are actually involved in gardening and actually producing food? Do they help in this education process?
Oh, absolutely. I think school gardens are a great educational tool. We in Alexandria, we have school gardens, but of course in Virginia, we don't have a long growing season. But for example, last spring we had what we called a strawberries and greens festival in the schools, and the kindergartners actually planted the lettuce and grew the lettuce greens and harvested the lettuce for us, and they were able to grow 40 pounds of lettuce, which is a lot of lettuce, believe it or not, to share with the district. So that's kind of fun things that you can do. We don't get into it as much as they do out in the West Coast, but I think it's just a great idea.
Well, that's Becky DeMocos-Bays, Director of Food and Nutrition Services for Alexandria Public Schools in Virginia. Becky, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
We have been getting a lot of responses from you, and we want to get more of them. You can give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE. Nancy writes us on Facebook, I work in an elementary school cafeteria. You can't make the kids eat what they don't like, even if it's free. Meals are $2.50 for full pay, 40 cents for reduced. I think it's a fair price. Our schools are definitely making an attempt to make things healthier. Give us a call with your response, 877-8-MY-TAKE.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.